In easy times, I think it's pretty easy to enjoy God. In good times, it's pretty straightforward to enjoy God. But what happens when good times become bad times? What happens when easy times become difficult times? What are we to make of bad times in our lives? What are we to make of those? Because it's not all sunshine, is it? So what are we to make of difficulties in our lives? The talk last Sunday was a really easy one to give. I loved preaching last Sunday. It was the title of the sermon, if you weren't here, was Enjoying the Father's Smile. We thought about enjoying God's blessings, enjoying his smile. It was such a cinch to preach. Even I could preach it. It was really easy. But as we continue this series, Enjoying God, we come to a rather more difficult topic this morning. And that is, and the mid-music is rather different for this one. I suppose we're asking this morning, can you enjoy God when the sun is not shining in your life, but rather when it's raining pretty hard? I mean, can you enjoy God in the midst of things like serious illness or chronic debt or real worry or sleepless nights or broken relationships or dashed dreams? How can I enjoy God then? Can I enjoy God then? Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that actually we can. That we can enjoy God in tough times. Now at this point you might well say, well, Kenny, you've lost the plot completely. You didn't get enough sleep last night, and if you had it done, you wouldn't have been preaching a sermon like this. How can I enjoy God when life's difficult? Well, I think that God deliberately, even kindly, uses difficult circumstances that you and I would never choose to grow good things and good purposes and good fruit even in our lives. And so I've called the talk this morning, I want to enjoy the Father's shaping. Last Sunday, I want to enjoy the Father's smile. This Sunday, I want to enjoy the Father's shaping. Now, you may well be more than a little bit skeptical about this. In fact, you might think, I'm going to zone out for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I want to encourage you, and I understand if you're skeptical, I don't blame you. And I especially don't blame you for being skeptical about this if you don't follow Jesus. Because this just seems nuts. It seems total nuts. If you don't follow Jesus today, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not trusting in Jesus, if Jesus is not in your heart, if you don't believe that Jesus has got a plan for your life, what I am saying just now and what I will say seems like nuts. It does. But if you are following Jesus, and it's not that it's easy, but you will get this. And God will help you get it even more, I hope, by the end of this talk. So if you would give me a fair hearing just for a moment or two and turn to Hebrews 12, page 1210 and 1211. It's really important you open up and follow this because the verses here are wonderful and so good, and we need to hear them. Page 1210 and 1211 in the Pew Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12. I want to enjoy the Father's shaping, and let's begin here. First of all, God lovingly shapes us through hardships. When tough times hurt us, when hard times drain us, and especially maybe if you're one of Jesus' followers, and you wonder all sorts of things, so when something difficult comes along, you wonder, well, what have I done on God that he has sent this to me? You maybe wonder something like, is God punishing me at this time? You maybe wonder, well, where is God in this? Has he abandoned me? Has he abandoned our family? You certainly don't feel like last Sunday when we thought about living under the Father's smile. But if we see things that way, the book of Hebrews tells us that we're seeing things wrongly. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of Christians who are getting life tough. In fact, there are hints throughout the book of Hebrews that these Christians feel like giving up. They feel like throwing in the towel, that they actually feel like, I've had enough of this, Lord. And so if you've ever felt like throwing in the towel, then this sermon and this passage in this Bible book is just for you. For the writer of Hebrews explains to us that tough times are for our good God and our loving Father to show us his grace and his shaping. Now, you didn't mishear me. Look at verse 6. It says, notice, the Lord disciplines the one, not the one he hates, not the one he's indifferent to, not the one he couldn't care less about. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone who, what kind of people? He chastens everyone he accepts as his son or as his daughter. And just in case you think it's not just Kenny Hannah who's lost the plot this morning, this writer of this Bible book of Hebrews has lost the plot as well. Let me direct you to somebody else who said just the same thing. He's called Jesus, the Son of God. And in the very last book of the Bible, the Lord Jesus, he writes to Christians living in what's modern-day Turkey today. And what does Jesus say? He says pretty much the same thing, Revelation 3 and 19. Jesus says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So how does our pain show us the Father's love? We'll go back to verses 7 and 8 of this passage in Hebrews 12. The next part of it, verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. I remember oftentimes before we were married and had any children of our own, I remember many a time seeing somebody struggle with a child, a parent. Usually it was a toddler. And I often smiled, smugly to myself and thought, it can't be that hard. I could do better than that. And then I was in that position and realized that I couldn't. And I realized that being a parent isn't quite so easy. But far more importantly, I came to understand that disciplining a child is an act of love. Because we want to teach our children right from wrong, don't we? We want the very best for them. And that's exactly what we read of God, our Father, when God says in verse 6, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Now, I don't say this lightly this morning. I understand only too well what it's like to face tough times. I get that from experience. But can Jesus' followers see a bad day or a testing time as God, our loving Father, molding us and shaping us? Now, I'm honestly not approaching this topic with all the pastoral sensitivity of a bull in a china shop. I know about tough times myself. I understand. I've been there. But the unmistakable message, I think, from Hebrews 12 for us this morning and from the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 is this. Now, what might help us a little bit with this topic is if we understand why Jesus suffered. Why did Jesus face tough times himself? Well, Jesus himself suffered not because he needed a correction from his father, but rather because it was the father's way of preparing Jesus to be the go-between between us and God. Could you keep your finger where you are and turn back with me just a moment to Hebrews chapter 5. Just keep your finger there in page 1210 and turn back just for a second to chapter 5 of Hebrews. This is important. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 10. Just back a few pages. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 10. This is what it says about Jesus. Son though Jesus was, he learned obedience from what he suffered and was designated, verse 10, by God to be high priest. So Jesus suffered, as it were, discipline from his father so that he could learn to be our high priest, the go-between between us and God. I read a really interesting comment on this. This book that I've based this series of talks on, Enjoying God by Tim Chester. And Chester comments on how Christians, God the Father's sons and daughters, how Christians, God the Father's sons and daughters, suffered like Jesus the Son. And this is very telling. Here's what Chester writes. I find this really helpful. Chester writes, our suffering, Christian suffering, is a sign that we're like the Son, like Jesus the Son, with a relationship to the Father, like the Son's relationship to the Father. So when you as a son or daughter of God suffer, we're suffering like Jesus the Son, and that's a sign that we are sons or daughters of the living God, like Jesus the Son is a son of the living God. Suffering shows we're the real thing, believe it or not. There are lots of things that I would enjoy about being a Premier League footballer. The wages would be okay, probably. Could survive in there. The adoration from the fans would be good, especially if you had a good game. But one thing that would kill me would be the pre-season. They say the pre-season is appalling. Because even though you keep yourself fairly fit as a Premier League player this time of year, you lose your sharpness. And so whenever you come in for the pre-season, you've got all the endurance work to do, then you've got all the sprints to do, and they say it's appalling. So there are some aspects of being a Premier League footballer I would quite enjoy. I could hack the wages. I could hack the adoration of the home support, but I absolutely couldn't hack the pre-season. And in a similar way, there are some things about being a son or daughter of God the Father that we absolutely love if we're Christians. I mean, there's lots of things Christians love about having a relationship with God the Father that's like Jesus the Son's relationship with the Father. I mean, for example, it's amazing to be able to say, God, you're my Father. That's an incredible thing. I mean, Muslims wouldn't do that, for example. For a Muslim to call God our Father would be blasphemy. Muslims couldn't get their head around that. So what a privilege today to be able to call God your Father when you're trusting in Jesus. Or what a wonderful thing when you're trusting in Jesus to know his righteousness covers you from head to toe and makes you acceptable to God. So that you're just as righteous in God the Father's sight as his son Jesus. What a privilege. That's a fantastic thing about being a son or daughter of God. We're really keen on those things. And then we come to the book of Hebrews. And we read something about being a son or a daughter of the Father like Jesus that we're not quite so keen on. That a sign that we are sons or daughters of God the Father is that we suffer like Jesus the Son suffered. And we're not keen on that, are we? I'm not keen on that. I suspect you aren't either. That God lovingly shapes us through hardships, just like, as we read earlier from Hebrews 5, just like he shaped his own son Jesus through hardships. I want to enjoy the Father's shaping. Let's lead on then to the second thing. God lovingly shapes us to make us more like him. The writer wants these, I want to throw in the towel Christians to get this, that God the Father lovingly shapes us to be more like him. Because you see, God the Father wants his children to be like him. Now, fathers understand this, and mothers too, but I can say, this is Father's Day, by the way, isn't it? Fathers understand this. Fathers understand what it's like to have a son or daughter and want them to be like you in some way. So you want your son or daughter to like some of the same stuff you like, to enjoy doing some of the same stuff that you enjoy doing. Fathers love it. Fathers love it when their children are like them in some way. They love it. And God the Father is like that. Like any father, God the Father wants his children to be like him. Do you understand that today? That just like any earthly father would want their children to be like them, God the Father wants his children to be like him. That's not rocket science. Sure it's not. God the Father loves it when we're like him, in fact. In fact, God the Father wants his children to share in one key characteristic of his, and that is his holiness. And what do we mean by holiness? Well, here's a really simple way to think about holiness. Holiness is to be set apart from all that's wrong, and holiness also means to be set apart to all that's right. That's what it means to be holy, to be set apart from all that's wrong, and to be set apart to everything that's right. So how can we be made holy like God our Father? How can we be like God our Father in this respect? Well, verse 10 tells us, they, our human fathers, disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. God brings discipline into the lives of his people in order that we may share in his holiness. Just like any human father wants their children to be like him in some aspects, God our Father wants us to be like him. And so he molds us and shapes us to be more like him, especially in this area of holiness, set apart from all that's wrong and set apart to all that's right. And God does that, even through difficulties in our lives. Now, there's nothing nice about difficulties. I'm not standing here today and saying difficulties are great. I hate difficulties. I love it when everything's going well, and you do too. I mean, who's queuing up for difficulties? Nobody. But because God our Father is so amazing, and he is so amazing, because he is so amazing, he can bring good things out of the nastiest, out of the most awful experiences that there are in life. He can do that. Look at verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Notice that as our Father disciplines his followers, there's a harvest of good things. There are good fruit as a result of the tough times that God our Father brings us through. Now, the good fruit that God our Father brings out of bad things in our lives, they're not apples and pears. They are, says the writer of Hebrews, a harvest of righteousness and peace. Those are the good things that God brings out of our lives through difficulties. So there's righteousness. So that's being right with God and living God's right way as a result. And there's peace. And that peace is just wholeness. It's a complete life that comes from living for God each day. And so God our Father disciplines his followers so that we will become more like him. He longs, God our Father longs for his followers to be more like him, more holy, more set apart from all that's wrong, and more set apart to all that's right. God our Father loves it when we become more and more like him. I want you, maybe you're facing a tough time now, or you will do in the future, I want you to please believe this. And I want you, as a result of that difficult time, to look at your life and to say to yourself, well, are there fruit in my life now that there wasn't before this tough time? Am I closer to God now, even though it was a terrible struggle and for a while I seemed to be far away from God, but is there a closeness in my walk with God now there wasn't before this difficult time? Because here in this passage, discipline means to train someone so that they will develop fully. You see, that's God, our Father's ultimate desire for his followers. He wants us to fully develop. We want that for our families, don't we? We want them to fully develop. And God, our Father, wants that for us, his children. He wants us to develop fully. And discipline, tough times, are part of that. So God lovingly shapes us to make us more like him. So what does that look like? Well, thirdly and finally, we finish with this. What does that shaping look like on a practical level? Well, finally, thirdly, how all this affects the way we live now. Here's some really vital things and hopefully encouraging and helpful things for you to take away with you this morning. God our Father wants his children to develop as fully as possible in this life so that we will trust him. So that we will trust him, notice, instead of relying upon ourselves, or instead of relying upon other things, or instead of relying upon other people. God wants us to develop, to the point where we rely upon God more than all the other crutches that we lean on. This is a lesson I need to learn. And I suspect many of us need to learn it this morning too. That as God works in my life, he is training me and molding me. And as he does that, I discover there's nothing in me I can lean on. And other people are good, but there's only a limited amount they can do for me. And other things might be helpful, but there's only a limited amount they can do for me too. God is the game changer. My loving Father is the game changer. So I need to lean upon him first, and I need to lean upon him most. You see, without tough times from my Father, I think that I would blindly skip through life, unaware of the fact that God, my Father, wants me to trust him first and trust him most. Trust him more than my family or my friends or whatever. Without those difficult times, I wouldn't get that. And I suspect maybe you wouldn't either. Another reason why God disciplines us so that we will grow in our relationship with him. And that is that God our Father wants his children to develop as fully as possible in this life so that we'll be ready to live with him in heaven. Part of the reason for this world is to get us ready for the next world. Part of the reason for this life is to prepare us for eternity. Part of the reason for Christians living in this world is to get us to be ready to live with our perfect Father in his perfect home in heaven. I know I'm not perfect. And I suspect you know you're not perfect either. We might behave at times as if we thought we were, but we know we're not perfect, don't we? And so one of the ways that God gets us ready to share his perfect home with perfect him in heaven is by his discipline. That's the only way he can really smooth the rough, sinful edges of our lives. I want you to try and remember the first time you ever met your girlfriend or boyfriend's parents. Can you remember the first time you went to their house? Some of you are smiling. Can you remember it? And I suspect before you went, and I'm sure before I went, there were certain do's and don'ts that were explained to you by your boyfriend or girlfriend. So there were certain things that it was okay to talk about. And there were other things that were definitely not on the agenda. And you were warned, don't mention that person, don't talk about that thing. So there was all this preparation you had to do before that first meeting, because it was an important meeting, because first impressions are important. So you think about the preparation for that meeting, and it was an important one. How much more do you and I need to prepare to live with our perfect God in his perfect home in heaven? How much more preparation do you think you and I need for that meeting? I suspect rather more than the first time you met your boyfriend or girlfriend's mum and dad. We need more prep for that, don't we? And the prep for that can be difficult times. It's the only way God can smooth the rough edges of our sinful lives and sinful hearts. But what about you this morning if you're not following Jesus? What's the message for all of this for you today? Well, if you're not following Jesus, here's what I want to leave with you. God our Father wants you to become his child so that you will turn from the empty sources of joy that you might be running after just now and find true joy in him. You see, if you're not following Jesus, and if you're not finding true joy in him, I want to say to you today, is it not time you admitted that all the places you thought you'd find joy in have just been disappointing? Let me close with this little picture. You see, today, if you're trying to find joy and meaning in anything other than Jesus today, do you know what it's like? And this is honestly what I think it's like. If you're trying to find joy and meaning for your life today in anywhere other than in Jesus, this is what I think it's like. Picture the scene. It's a Saturday in Newcastle, and it's really warm, and Newcastle is packed. And you come to Maud's, and you love Maud's ice cream. And there's a big queue. And you queue up for your favourite ice cream. And you, it's a way down the main street, and you queue up maybe for 20 minutes. And finally you get to the counter, and you're just about to get a tub of your favourite Maud's ice cream, whatever that happens to be, and the girl who's about to serve you says, "I'm sorry, the person in front of you got the last two scoops of your favourite ice cream. We've none left." How disappointed would you be on that hot, sweltering day after missing out on your favourite Maud's ice cream after queuing for 20 minutes? What a disappointment. And friends, what a disappointment to queue all your life in this world and to run after all sorts of stuff that you thought would bring you joy, and to be disappointed now, and one day meet Judge Jesus and be disappointed forever. What a letdown that would be. Can you imagine it? How disappointed you will be if you come to the end of this world without Jesus, and you realize actually you've been in the wrong queue. All that time you should have been following Jesus, enjoying God, and you missed out on it all, and you'll miss out on it forever. What a really big, massive disappointment that will be. And the Bible says it lasts forever. So can I encourage you today, if you're not following Jesus, to please look to Jesus for your joy for the very first time. And you will find, and I believe this, even in difficult times, you will have firm foundations that are so firm, you'll be able to say, "I want to enjoy the Father's shaping." Let's take a moment to pray. And our Heavenly Father, we know that this is a hard passage and these are difficult verses, and we all struggle with them because we like to enjoy good times and not difficult ones. We like life to run smoothly and for there to be no bumps in the road of our lives. So help us, if we're following Jesus, to know his shaping, his moulding, his equipping us to be the people he wants us to be. And maybe see good fruit grow in our lives, deeper, brighter, more wonderful, even through tough times, Lord. Give us faith in you to trust you for those times. And may we see good fruit, because, Lord, you're the God who takes bad things, just like you did with that children's story earlier on with Helen Rosevere, and you bring really good things out of them. So do that with each one of your followers, Lord. Do that with us. And if we're not yet following you, Lord Jesus, then will you help us to see that all the places we look for joy in, satisfaction in, meaning in, purpose in, that, Lord, they'll disappoint us. They'll disappoint us, in fact, forever. And help us today for the first time to trust in you, Lord Jesus, and to find deep joy in you, real meaning and purpose that will last forever. And we pray all this together in Jesus' great name.